This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back, everybody, to Caravan of Garbage, where we're wrapping up our series on movies that are vaguely connected in some way.
A Tommy Gunn series, except for this last one that doesn't have a Tommy Gunn in it.
God,
but it's got Tommy Gunn vibes, sort of.
It does.
Yeah.
I can get four. Like, yeah. I can link four of them. Mm-hmm. Four of them were created in the 30s, except The Rocketeer. Four of them have Tommy Gunns, except this one. Four of them are bad, except The Rocketeer.
That's right. Now, you said, James, if any of the viewers of this video can find a confirmed through line through this, you'll send them $1,000.
I did say that.
Say that and put it in the comments.
Unfortunately, they didn't know. I've had a look, and it's just blank there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
So what do you do? Maybe if you leave a like, I'll have another look, and you'll get $1,000 potentially.
Nice.
Because you never know.
It's like playing the lottery. You're guaranteed to win, as far as I'm concerned. Just leave a comment.
Agreed. So we're talking about Green Hornet 2011, which was a bad year if you made a green superhero movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, is this the year of Green Lantern also?
Certainly was.
My goodness.
A movie we have also looked at. And looking at who's involved in this, what a fucking waste.
Yeah, so it's Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg wrote the script, who have since gone on to produce Preacher and The Boys and the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem.
And also made a bunch of really good stuff before this. Bearing in mind this was their first kind of big budget thing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about Seth Rogen in particular, his feelings towards the making of this on the back end, but just squandering talents.
Seth Rogen, of course, is in this. He stars in it. Jay Chou, Cameron Diaz is in this.
Mm-hmm.
Christoph Waltz is in this.
Yep. David Harbour is in this.
Surprise, David Harbour is in this.
James Edward Olmos is in this.
Tom Wilkinson is in this.
You know?
Edward Furlong's in this?
Yeah, he's in this. Huh. I got a bit of trivia about that.
Well, yeah.
And it's, of course, directed by Michelle Gondry, who directed Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, Be Kind, Rewind, probably other movies that I like.
Mm.
Yeah.
Anyway, I hated this.
Yeah.
How did you feel about it?
It's upsetting.
It's upsetting. I felt like, and this is a low bar to clear, but I felt it was insulting my intelligence, mm-hmm. my very minimal intelligence. And I'll tell you why. Like, it starts off like on a real sour note, because there's a moment in this, Christoph Waltz, who has come off, you know, he's back in acting. He's, you know, did an amazing performance in Inglourious Basterds.
Yep.
And he's clearly, like, taken whatever check is available. And who could blame him, you know?
Mm,
he's a hot property. Get that cash. Get that superhero cash. Anyway, he plays like a gangster. And he controls all the crime in this city. But then another gangster starts up a nightclub without his permission. So he goes into the nightclub. And it's James Franco. And he's like,
R.I.P.
Oh, yeah, no. We're missing,
thinking
don't we?
Anything good about it.
That's right.
Because he sucks.
And Christoph Waltz is like, listen, you got to give me all. You got to give me the deed to this nightclub. I'm taking over this nightclub. And James Franco's like, you're old news, old man. Get out of here. You're not going to take a wicket. We're the new game in town, buddy, or whatever. And then Christoph Waltz just pulls out a big gun and shoots his henchman. And James Franco's like, What the heck? I'm flabbergasted. He brought a gun in here.
Well,
this guy that controls all the crime in the city.
He didn't just bring in any kind of gun, Mason.
It's the biggest gun I've ever seen. It's the biggest handgun I've ever seen.
And?
It's two guns.
It's two guns.
It's two guns welded together. And I went back because I thought to myself...
He found it? It was on the floor in front of him?
Well, I'm like, they haven't even contrived a way that, like... He snuck it in or whatever, like one of his underlings, you know, snuck it in a side corridor and gave it to him. Or maybe
he
like
was piecing it together.
Man with a golden gun style. Ooh. Maybe it was a series of innocuous objects and he put it all together. No, it's the biggest gun in the world that you could not possibly conceal upon your person.
He's in a swimsuit?
They don't even pat him down.
Nah.
And I feel like that sets the tone for the movie. You know what I mean?
I don't disagree. I do like the idea of that gangster... looking for like an aesthetic or an edge because people keep telling him that he's kind of a boring standard gangster and he's like, what if I had a catchphrase? What if I wore a cool suit? What if I had a
red trench coat?
Yeah.
What if I was red trench coat?
Yeah. I don't mind any of that, but it doesn't really go anywhere. And also he's not in it that much and he doesn't play off the lead characters like at all. There should be more scenes with those three together.
Yeah, just like... interacting and not just running down a corridor shooting at each other with weird guns.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about, because we're going to take it back, because as we know, every one of these properties we've looked at is from the 30s,
Mason.
That's
correct, yes.
And that's the definitive link.
Yes.
What is the backstory of these characters?
Well, the real world backstory...
I don't care about the fiction. Yeah, yeah, okay. Exactly.
Well,
yes.
The real world backstory of these characters is that there was a Detroit radio station called WXYZ.
Mm-hmm.
Lucky they got in there. Get on there early, WXYZ.
That's what you want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they had already had a success with the radio play version of The Lone Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, let's do another one, but let's do an original one. And so they put together a little masked hero. This is in 1936, so this is pre-Superman, which explains the look.
Sure, yeah.
Just guys in suits with masks.
No powers, et cetera.
They've got a car and a gun or whatever.
Yep,
that's totally fine. They went through, much like in this movie, they went through like a bunch of ideas as to like what to name the character and what his whole deal was. I think at one point they were going to be the Hornet, but there was already a Hornet, so they... tossed around just a bunch of colours. At one point, he might have been the Blue Hornet or the Pink Hornet.
Okay.
Couldn't do that these days.
Why not?
I don't know.
I think you could.
Because people would be like, oh, like the Green Hornet.
Oh, yeah.
And we hated that.
Yeah, yeah, good
we
point.
We hated that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a big old hit.
Well, and then it had a revival in the 60s.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. With some guys, the Green Hornet.
Williams is his name.
But most notably, it had Bruce Lee as Kato.
Yes. And I guess if you've seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood more recently, a movie that Quentin Tarantino went out of his way to make Bruce Lee look like a fucking moron, that is on the set of the Green Hornet, the fight he has with Brad Pitt.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, I think it's got a really interesting backstory. I like the aesthetic and the idea, I guess, of these two characters. And they both bring kind of different ideas to it.
Yeah.
But I think what this movie does in terms of missing a trick is... they're not a great duo, are they? I feel like they don't bounce well off each other.
Well, they're bad characters. So when we talked about Dick Tracy a few weeks ago, you know, one of the problems I had with that movie and that character generally is he's just a guy who fights crime because that's his job.
Mm.
And the Green Hornet, like traditionally in the radio series and the TV series and et cetera, he's quite similar to that. He's just a guy. He's like a, you know, he's the young newspaper publisher, and he's like, I think I'll fight crime at night or whatever.
Yeah,
and you know, and it's you know, there's hard, it's difficult to kind of like find a human angle to jump in on that. And clearly, with this, as with some of the other, you know, versions you see in like you know, in comic books and stuff like that, they're like, let's give him a backstory, let's give him a reason to fight crime, and it's awful.
Yeah,
he's just an awful guy. He's stupid, and he never learns anything, and not in a fun way.
No, and I think Seth Rogen...
he's rude?
He is rude. And that's the
he's
thing.
He's sexist?
Yes. And you couldn't do that these days.
You couldn't do that these days.
And I think the problem...
because they'd say it had been done in The Green Hornet, 2011.
I think also Seth Rogen is good at playing, like, obnoxious and irritating characters, but the difference is that they're funny and you like them.
Yeah.
Whereas this guy, I don't like him.
Mm.
He sucks. Yeah. And not in a way that, like, that's funny. He's not funny. He just sucks.
Yeah.
He's just mean and he sucks.
There's a point where he meets, he's hiring a new temporary secretary and he gets, He hires Lenore, played by Cameron Diaz.
Yep.
And in like the span of about 20 seconds, he talks about how hot she is to her face. And then she's like, but you're also old.
Yeah.
And like, what are you doing? Nobody in this movie acts like a real person. Everybody acts like they're just saying the exposition they need to get to the next scene of the movie.
Yeah.
So in a way, it feels like just a really awful comic book from the 60s, you know, where people are saying the stuff they're doing.
Explaining things.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, but here's something I appreciate that they sometimes get right in this. Being a Michel Gondry film, and this was his biggest project by far, he's really good at putting like mechanically interesting scenes together.
Yeah, uh-huh.
If you look at like Eternal Sunshine, The Spotless Mind, the detail and the effort to getting like Jim Carrey in a sink, if you've seen, for example,
and
they build a really big sink. And there's so many fascinating.
That sink in.
Thank you. There's so many fascinating things. Great joke. Within that movie.
Mm.
And I feel like you get glimpses of that with like the mechanics of the car.
And the coffee machine.
Coffee machine.
But yeah, no, I think that some of the action sequences are quite frenetic. Like Kato has the Arkham Asylum detective vision.
Boy, does he.
And he can, you know.
No, he's got the Arkham Asylum fighting vision.
Ooh.
It's different, Mason.
It's different.
It's in the same game, but it's different.
Yeah, and he can kind of assess all the threats, and then he, like, takes everybody down in a cool sequence. And I thought that was quite fun.
I think, though, the fact that they really highlight the guns. I think the fact that they really highlight. Oh, they were trying to talk about the Green Hornet. It's not good, but we need you to keep it down. Like, they really highlight the red gun. It's like...
And it's like,
you can pull back on that slightly.
Yeah. I think maybe if your brain does do that exact thing, maybe there's... You should get a CAT scan or something.
Yeah, you have a brain tumor. 100%.
Look, I don't know. His origin story in this is weird. You know what I mean?
The fact that his dad broke a toy and...
Yeah, right.
And then he was a bad guy for 30 years and then he does this?
Yeah, so his backstory is that the first time we see him as a little child, he's a little Lord Fauntleroy type in his little cardigan, and he's being brought home from school by his dad, who's a big media magnate, and his dad's like, what are you doing getting into trouble at school? And Britta Reid is like, oh, he's just helping a kid. A kid was being bullied and I wanted to save him.
Mm.
And his dad's like, well, never do that again. Just be a bad kid for 30 years. I won't be having any of that. And then we see nothing. And then he's just like a party dude.
He's just awful.
And also, Kato's better than him at everything.
Yeah.
And
he's pointless.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to be in the movie.
Mm.
He doesn't make anything. He can't fight for shit. He doesn't have any good ideas.
Then he gets weird.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of shit, mother. Or sales. I definitely prefer... Don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, Nix, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. You know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect.
Jealous about everything.
Yeah.
And God, he's unpleasant, isn't he?
Yeah, he really is.
And he only learns about the existence of Kato because when his dad dies, he fires the entire staff.
Mm-hmm.
And Kato, his job was to maintain all Britt Reed's dad's cars and also make his coffee.
Yep.
And then Britt is mad that his coffee's bad all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's right.
Great. Love
origin.
It. That's a good origin, I think. Oh, yeah. And then he's like, I'm going to cut the head off my dad's statue. And then he just gets a thrill out of fighting crime. He's like, I'm gonna do it.
I'm gonna do it, yeah. And he does for a bit. What do you think about the idea that they frame themselves as villains?
Well, I mean, that is the conceit of the original Green Hornet. So I guess you have to lean into that a little bit.
I should say, do you think any of that actually works here and makes sense?
Absolutely not. Yeah. No.
The deeds that they're doing,
yes,
it's just destroying villains' lairs, but they're not taking over anything or stealing money for their own gains or killing anybody.
Well, they are killing people.
Or killing any. I guess that maybe they are. Maybe it's great.
Yeah.
Maybe it's great and I'm wrong.
It's completely random. Sometimes they're just beating people to within an inch of their life. Sometimes they're shooting people with missiles from their car. Sometimes they're like, well, I've got to use a gas gun because I can't kill. But then sometimes they just drive half a car through David Harbour off the top of a building and crash him into the ground below. Which honestly I loved.
I will say when the half a car gets in the building at the end,
yep,
there's a lot of broken glass and sliding about. I think all of that is a pretty solid action scene.
Yeah, but we shouldn't have to wait that long for a good action sequence.
I mean,
right?
It's half a car.
Yeah.
And I guess there's two cool villain deaths. There's the David Harbour one that you mentioned, and Christoph Waltz gets like stabbed through the eyes. But it's really...
And his head just...
Yeah.
He's just swaying around with two enormous like chair legs sticking out of his head.
In like half a second. Like there's no, I don't know, is that like a rating thing where they really just kind of
maybe
speed through that?
Mm.
Yeah, wow, it's a good movie though. And I want to talk about why it's such a good movie. But before we do that, Mason, can we do some trivia?
Yeah.
In a little segment I like to call the Trivia Hornet.
Oh, I thought you'd call it Horny Green Trivia.
We can do that.
Okay, great.
It's been rebranded.
It's Horny Green Trivia every week from
now. No, it won't be. So Nicolas Cage was initially cast as Chudnovsky, but dropped out. He intended to play the role with a Jamaican accent, much to the director's dismay. In his book, Seth Rogen talks about meeting with Cage after the movie got made, and Cage accused him of telling James Franco about his idea after seeing the movie Spring Breakers.
Uh-oh.
My goodness. A poster for the Lone Ranger can be seen in Britt Reed's room and in the original radio program, etc., the things you said, but also the Green Hornet is the Lone Ranger's grand nephew or something?
That is correct, yes.
Great.
The answer there is sometimes, because sometimes the Green Hornet and the Lone Ranger aren't owned by the same company, so they can't say it anymore,
oh,
but sometimes they, you know, Sometimes various conglomerates and corporations combine.
So they can say that he was my grandnephew.
Correct.
Or whatever.
The magic of literature, James. That's my what God. That is, yeah.
Isn't it just? Now, just quickly talk about who was involved in directing this before we got here. Kevin Smith was attached to direct in the early 2000s. He actually dropped out because he wasn't prepared for making something of this size. He was like, I'm making smaller things. I'm not be doing this right now.
What if the Green Hornet and Kato were trapped in a convenience store?
What if they were?
Mm-hmm.
And then one of them died in Clerks 3. Spoiler alert. I didn't mind it. I enjoyed Clerks 3.
I was only vaguely aware that it existed. Okay. I didn't know it was out.
Cool, okay. Cool. In late 2008... Stephen Chow was set to direct and co-star as Kato. However, creative differences prevented him from doing so. And it seemed as if that he was going to be on board for this version. But Seth Rogen stated that the reason for Chow's departure was he did Kung Fu Hustle, right?
Yes.
Let's check.
Okay, great.
Green Hornet. Green Hornet. Yeah, you did. Okay, great. I got that right, so that means I'm the best. Seth Rogen stated that the reason for Stephen Chow's departure, who did Kung Fu Hustle, if you didn't know, I knew that.
Oh, yes.
Was that the director wanted Kato to implant Britt with a microchip and control him with a joystick, something Rogen wasn't keen on.
Okay,
I
sure.
I mean, whatever, may as well.
Yeah, couldn't be worse than this, honestly.
Michel Gondry was actually set to direct this for Universal back in 1997, which was going to be his directorial debut, and the script was written by Edward Neumeier, and it would feature a villain who ate human hearts. Gondry initially wanted Vince Vaughn for the lead, but the parts of Britt and Kato were offered to Mark Wahlberg and Jason Scott Lee.
Oh.
And here's an Edward Furlong fact. The actor...
Not just Jason Lee.
No.
Okay. This wasn't a carryover from the Kevin
Smith
thing.
Well, this was before the Kevin Smith
thing.
Oh,
I see, right.
But yeah, yeah. And Edward Furlong, after the Green Hornet premiere... green carpet, by the way.
I found some
pictures, yeah.
I love that.
He was actually arrested the next day on suspicion of violating a restraining order, requiring him to stay 100 yards away from his estranged wife. So, you know, there's a fun fact for you, Mason.
Now that's horny green trivia.
That's right. Now, there was going to be a sequel to this that Sony Pictures cancelled because it sucks.
Yeah, it was bad. Nobody liked it.
But on a budget of $120 million, it had a box office return of 229.2, which isn't that bad, but not enough to... it's way better than I thought. I thought nobody saw this. And get this, the 3D conversion of the film added another $10 million to the budget.
You can see it on the screen. You love it.
Certainly can, every single second of it.
I bought a 3D TV just to watch it now.
Yeah?
So, yeah.
How was it? Did it make it worse?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you want that experience, don't you?
So then I rewatched it in 2D, and it was worse again. I don't understand. Thought I'd made a mistake, so I put the glasses on. Became worse again.
So here's what Seth Rogen has said about this movie. This is from an interview with Marc Maron in 2013.
Oh, yes.
I'll read this out for this version, but in the video, I'll try and find the audio. But all this.
Oh, yeah.
We'll
great.
Find out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he is, Mason.
Oh, you found the audio.
Yeah, I found it. I do like it. While we were making it was a fucking nightmare. And Gondry, the director, is wonderful at smaller scale stuff, but I think he did not mesh well. It was his first movie that had more than a $20 million budget, and this was a $120 million movie. And we had never made an action movie. He had never made an action movie. It was weird that the risks they were willing to take. The script is under great scrutiny. The lines, the characters, the dialogue. He should have a father. It should be this. It should be that. We wanted to get it made and not waste all this time. And then things like the action sequences, which is really where all the money's getting spent, go under no scrutiny whatsoever. No one looks at it. No one looks at the previs. No one looks at the storyboards. What we spent like literally $50 million on, no one checks. And that's what's crazy. The way that the money was spent and the way the money is spent on a lot of these movies is crazy. And you can see that because the weakest aspect of this is 100% the dialogue, the story, all of that. Yeah. Like, the visuals don't carry it. I will say that, right? But a script would, I mean, it's basic movie making to be like, yeah, if the script was better, I think it would be a better movie. But how else do you explain this?
Why does his dad...
Yeah.
Why did his dad get Kato to build the car with the machine guns in it?
Why not?
There's a line in there where he's like, oh, dad was getting pretty paranoid. Enough to build an indestructible car with machine guns in it?
Yes.
And those, like, Ben-Hur spikes that come out of the wheels?
Yes.
Madness.
I completely agree.
Give me a better reason.
Also, you know what? It's the Green Hornet.
Yes?
If you're giving it to somebody, like creative people like who are involved in this, just let them do it, obviously.
Mm.
Because nobody remembers. They can do anything.
Yeah.
So what are you getting in the nitty-gritty of this, you know?
Mm.
Nonsense. Anyway, Mason, a lot of people have said during this series there's some movies that you've missed that maybe you should have included in this series.
That's true.
The Lone Rangers come up. Mm. I think we're going to do that when we do like Disney flops at some point.
That'll, oh, yeah.
We'll come back to that.
Oh, here's one people have mentioned. Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow.
Yes. Mm. But we didn't.
We didn't do it. It's true. We didn't do it.
I was thinking like if you did like that and The Spirit.
Oh, yeah.
And the Sin City movies, they're that kind of like.
You know it when you say it.
Yeah, movies shot in a box.
That's right.
And some are more successful than others situation. But yeah, other people said, why didn't Mason watch the Phantom series from 2009? Because he was so eager to talk about it, and then he just didn't watch it.
I kind of wanted to trick you into watching it.
Really?
And say I didn't watch it.
Well, that makes sense, actually. Yeah.
And now the moment's passed, so I'm never going to watch it.
Well, now I have to watch it.
That's right.
If you're not going to watch it, I want to watch it.
That's right. You've got to be the big man who's watched it. You've got to be the big man.
So yeah, look, if you do have any suggestions for Caravan of Garbage, we'd love to hear it below. And these videos actually go up early at bigsandwich.co. Did you know that?
I did know that.
Including this one. Here's a hint towards next week. The Hunger Games, Mason.
Oh, yeah,
Hunger We're doing
Games.
All damn Hunger Games movies.
How many are there? Four?
150.
I don't think that's true. I don't think that's
There's
true.
There's four. There's four, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think you were including all movies there.
I was actually, yeah. I think you might be right.
Because in a way, when you're at the movies, it's a real Hunger Games, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're like, I could go out and get a popped corn.
But I don't.
I don't want to leave the cinema.
I would have got it before I sat down.
Mm.
Yeah. But in addition to that, there's bonus video game Let's Plays. There's bonus exclusive movie commentaries. There's bonus podcasts in general, isn't there, Mason?
Yes.
That's right. That's $9 a month. It's like our private Patreon if you are interested. Also, our podcast, The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. That comes out there every Sunday, Monday, everywhere else, though. Spotify, YouTube,
That's right.
Apple.
You don't have to wait that long.
You can go on Stitcher. It's probably on Stitcher.
Stitcher? Is that still around?
I don't know. Is it?
Wow.
You tell me. Leave a comment. Nobody left a comment. I looked.
Oh,
they didn't
do it. Wow, they could be winning $1,000 right now.
I know.
Easy money. Probably the first person to get in will win it.
I think so. Anyways, anything else?
What a chore of a movie.
I know.
What a shame.
I know.
I mean, not really. This is a Green Hornet.
Yeah, who cares?
What do the Hornet heads out there think? The Hornheads. What do they think about this? Were they like, no, we didn't mind it? I reckon they'd be like, this is a travesty.
Yeah.
Or are they so starved that they're like, no, it's pretty good, actually.
Aren't there, like, comics now where they cross over, like, Batman 66 and whatever?
Well, there's
And they crossed over in the shows.
They did. Yeah. There was a Kevin Smith one for Dynamite Comics.
There you go.
No, that's right.
There's something that might be good. Check it out.
Might be.
And Clerks 3. One of them dies at the end. I won't tell you which.
Is it one of the clerks?
Yeah, man.
Whoa.
Yeah. All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye. Grab that gym. We'll see you next week. Bye.
I liked it, though. You should see Clerks. I liked it. So
okay, great. That's great.
This
isn't a video about Clerks 3, is it?
No.
Unless we want to chop out all the Green Hornet stuff.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.